Latin Course and Radio Africa to start the hour under Depeche Mode, and everything counts in large amounts. It's 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Now, there are regular onions, and then there are onions too sexy for Facebook. A Canadian seed and garden supply store recently discovered. The seed company by E.W. Gaze in St. John's, Newfoundland, had wanted to post a seemingly innocent advert for Walla Walla onion seeds on Facebook. But to their surprise, it was rejected for being overtly sexual.
Okay.
In a statement, the social media company apologised for the error made by its automated technology. The ad flagged by Facebook showed Walla Walla onions, known for their size and sweet flavour, piled in a wicker basket with some sliced onion on the side. It took store manager Jackson McLean a moment to realise what the issue was with the posting. Then he figured out that something about the round shapes could be suggestive of breasts or buttocks. And that's why they banned it. Got to know your onions, really, haven't you?
You certainly have.
Future Islands been playing their track for sure for quite some time, and the new album, their sixth studio album, As Long As You Are, was released last Friday, and here's another track from that. So you were sitting on the sofa the weekend thinking up dodgy pop quiz questions, were you?
No, at all. All right, I got stuck into watching that Emily in Paris, which is awful.
I watched Gardener's World.
Do you know how to live? Question number one, today's quiz. In 1994, the Elton John song Can You Feel the Love Tonight was released. Which Disney film from the same year featured this tune? Correct. Question number two.
Well, you've seen it about 200 times.
What is the opening line to Club Tropicana by Wham? Think about it before you answer.
Club Tropicana drinks are free.
Well, yes, no, it's not.
No.
That's the chorus.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, it's Let Me Take You to the Place Where Membership's Smiling Face.
Right.
And finally, which Jamaican artist released a song in 1974 that begins with the lyrics, Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting?
Carl Douglas.
Yay. Hey. 2 out of 3, well done.
That's before your time, isn't it?
74, well, just...
Yeah, I remember seeing it. They used to use it on Cracker Jack sometimes.
Good song.
I wouldn't go that far.
It is. Feel good song.
Novelty song, isn't it, really? One hit wonder.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning, Mr. Potts.
Good morning.
A point of order on the golf, first of all.
Well, you were sort of rejoicing in Tyrrell Hatton's wonderful victory.
Played very well.
He did play very well, and there were some good shots in there, and I was sort of pleased for him. I don't know what happened in terms of the attire front. You know, should you be wearing a hoodie on a golf course?
Well, it was cold.
Looked like tracky bottoms as well being worn. Not for me, thank you.
So you think Ian Poulter's dress is okay, and Ricky
wonderful.
Fowler, that's
Poulter
okay.
Fabulous, yeah. Orange is good, no problem. A hoodie is... There's no place for a hoodie on a golf course.
But it's the future.
Well, not for me, thank
you. Well, I suggest you get down...
Nice cashmere jumper, very nice.
Get down to Wentworth and make an official complaint. It's not fun.
Oh, do you think they...
Probably, a man of your standing, they'd probably listen to you, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Take the trophy back.
So you've got the old Farris slacks and Pringle jumper, have you, when you go out?
I used to have a Nick Faldo Pringle jumper, actually.
Oh, dear, what, with diamonds on it?
Yeah, it was really good. That was a classic.
A la Ronnie Corbett. Right. Okay, less about your dress sense and more about the markets. Pretty good week last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, positive yet volatile weeks only for risk assets and investors. But additional US stimulus will eventually be forthcoming. Central banks will remain supportive. Progress on a vaccine can eventually mitigate the impact of the pandemic, all of which helped to offset fraught political negotiations on both sides of the Atlantic, disturbing virus headlines and fears of tighter regulation in the tech sector. In terms of performance highlights last week, US stocks rallied. S&P 500 up 3.8%, in fact, posing its biggest weekly increase since July. Treasury yields mostly flat, the dollar eased back. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 posted its second consecutive gain, rose 2.1% over the week, most in 4 months. Energy shares registered their biggest weekly gain since June as crude prices rose after Hurricane Delta, resulting in near total shutdown of crude output in the Gulf of Mexico. Lots to focus on during the course of this week. Markets, you hope, may get a better understanding of the likelihood and scope of a Brexit deal ahead of the EU summit on Thursday and Friday. However, hopes that EU heads of states would be reviewing a draft of the UK-EU trade agreement have all but disappeared. It looks like those negotiations will have to continue into the second half of this month. Investors will also be watching closely, I think, US inflation data, US retail sales numbers on Friday, along with UK employment figures tomorrow. So lots for markets to digest over the course of the trading week. Opening calls looking positive this morning. Had a good session in Asia overnight. Currently calling the FTSE up 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 62 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 29 points.
So it's another big week for Brexit then, is it?
It's yet another crucial deadline week for Brexit, absolutely right.
And this week you'll be finding out whether you'll be able to enjoy the delights of chlorinated chicken after the new year.
There's something around beef as well. What is the idea?
Hormone-fed beef.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to make a lovely Christmas.
Still, I mean, it helps if you're immune to the coronavirus, doesn't it, really?
Apparently so.
Donald Trump will be electioneering in earnest this week. He's got a lot of ground to make up, but we shouldn't trust the polls, even though they're giving Biden a lead of between 12 and 14 points at the moment.
Yeah, the national lead looks significant, of course, and also within the all-important swing states as you look to the Electoral College math to try and figure out who's going to become the next president of the United States. As you say, the pollsters have got it wrong in the past. You particularly find that, I guess, with Donald Trump, he does have supporters. They're not often prepared to voice it in public or when they're doing these types of, or when they're canvassed by pollsters. So we have to wait to see exactly how it plays out, of course, on Election Day. But it's certainly looking like Biden has some significant electoral advantages going into the vote.
He's going to need a landslide, isn't he, if Donald Trump is going to contest it. I mean, if it's a massive victory in the Electoral College, then Trump won't be able to say anything. But if there's any hints of it being disputed, then it's going to end up in the courts, as we said before.
Yeah, and that's the biggest fear from financial markets. That will certainly add to volatility. Investors have been looking to try and hedge that through derivatives in an effort to try to reduce the potential pain that could cause. So we've certainly seen that as a factor for investors, and they're paying close attention to that. We've already seen in numerous states lots of allegations around vote rigging, around disorderly ballots, and that will continue to come to the fore, one would suspect, as we head towards the election day. As you say, the size of the victory either way will be considered important in terms of determining whether we will indeed get that contested election.
And what a lot of people overlook is that there's a battle for control of the Senate as well, which would, I mean, if Biden gets into the White House and the Democrats gain control of the Senate, then can see a massive stimulus program coming along.
Yeah, a blue sweep, as it's been described, could have a more radical effect in terms of the agenda from a Democratic administration. I think you are likely to see high levels of regulatory pressure being imposed upon companies against that backdrop. You could also be suggesting a more aggressive stimulus package, although President Trump talking over the course of the weekend saying he's prepared to go even higher. So a bit of a debate about exactly what that means. The general feeling has been, though, should you get that Democratic clean sweep, the policy response would be more aggressive than under a Republican White House.
Well, the tech companies will be watching very closely to see who does gain control of the Senate, because Senate's controlled by the Democrats may well likely see some pretty strong legal action against the Big Four. And Apple is in the news this morning because it's going to stop selling third-party headphones and speakers and just have its own brands.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, this sort of element that you've got to watch out for, this regulatory risk that's perhaps building in the technology sector. And that was highlighted by the House Judiciary Antitrust. I think it was a 449-page report on the technology sector. That investigation, in its own words, revealed an alarming pattern of business practices that degrade competition and stifle innovation. They did make a number of stark recommendations, including imposing structural separations, prohibiting dominant platforms from entering adjacent lines of business, tougher M&A approval process, and measures to prevent platforms from preferencing their own services. So potentially that could result in a significant impact on current and future business models for the big technology companies. Although you should note, certainly currently, politically, there's not the will to push ahead with wholesale reforms. That's still the will for that still remains somewhat limited, it has to be said. Say Apple moving ahead, saying they'll no longer sell headphones and speakers from rivals including Sonos, Bose and Logitech, as the company gears up to launch its own new audio product. All third-party headphones have now been removed from its online stores. Employees have reportedly been told to remove products of sale at its physical stores in recent days. Shares in Sonos coming under pressure as that news broke. The move comes as Apple develops multiple new products to expand its audio strategy beyond its AirPods and products from its Beats subsidiary, including new over-ear headphones and smaller version of its HomePod smart speaker.
Yeah, and they all have special Apple adapters on them, which means you can't use them in anything else and you can't use anyone else's with Apple.
Yes, it's very true, isn't it? Mm. It's all part of the conspiracy.
Monopoly.
That's what the the House Judiciary was
abuse
suggesting.
Abuse of market position, that's what they're calling it.
Yeah, they said Google, well, it wasn't just Apple. They said Apple, Facebook, Amazon all have monopoly power in various areas of their operation. Google overwhelmingly dominates the search market. So we have to wait to see where this one goes.
And bargain hunters picking up Rolls-Royce stock.
Look that way, the engine maker's Rolls-Royce shares doubled last week, registering its best weekly gain since listing in 1987, as those investors looking for a bargain came into the stock on hopes that its plan to raise funds will allow it to overcome liquidity concerns and survive the coronavirus travel crisis. Company aims to raise around £5 billion, including £2 billion from shareholders. Worries over the long-term travel, some, of course, have been beating down the value of the company. Airlines, we should remember, pay Rolls-Royce based on how many hours its engines fly in their larger jets. Clearly, at the height of the lockdown, there was a huge slump in terms of number of hours flown. The recovery has been somewhat weak as well. So still filtering through to the company. Shares bouncing last week, trading at 229 pence a share on Friday, having doubled over the week. Although we should remember that's a far cry from the 690 pence they traded at before the coronavirus outbreak.
Got a Rolls-Royce dealer in Cobham?
I don't know where. No, I don't think there was one in Cobham, to be honest. No, there should be. Should be.
Why, are you in the market?
Kind of think where our nearest Rolls-Royce dealer is, to be honest. Well, you know, coming from Monaco, how many do you have there?
Quite a few. They're not as many as you'd think they would be, though, really.
I like, if I was going to go that way, Rolls-Royce would be. The Rolls-Royce Thorn Black Badge is my car of choice.
There's a lot more Ferraris than anything else in Monaco, I've noticed.
Okay, well, you know, tough times.
Foreign exchanges, please.
First world problems. Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.30. Euro dollar coming in at 1.18. You can get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Get back to that IKEA bed.
Thank you. Speak to you in the morning. Hank Possum, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
Following Storm Alex, which hit the Alpes Maritimes on October the 2nd, some schools in the region are to reopen their doors today. To date, seven bodies have been found during the major rescue operation, which continues in the valleys behind Nice and Menton, and the whereabouts of 12 others remains unknown. Storm Alex led to severe flooding, and according to an INSEE study, 30% of inhabitants in the Alpes Maritimes and Vaucluse region live in a flood zone, with 1 million inhabitants across the entire PACA region being affected and Nice being one of the most exposed areas. The prefect of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region has announced that Marseille and Aix-en-Provence are to remain on high alert due to COVID-19 for at least another 15 days. The maximum alert, which was put in place on September the 23rd, has been extended from today until October the 22nd, with bars remaining closed along with sporting venues and a ban on gatherings of more than 10 people. Meanwhile, due to a sharp increase in cases of COVID-19, Toulouse and Montpellier have also been declared as maximum alert zones from midnight tonight. The move will see new restrictions, including the closure of bars, casinos and sporting venues, and a limitation on large gatherings. Latest figures for COVID-19 in France have shown that while nearly 27,000 French people have tested positive for coronavirus infection in the past 24 hours, there has been a slight drop in the number being admitted to intensive care. Meanwhile, one new case of COVID-19 was declared here in Monaco on Sunday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 234. Three patients are currently hospitalised in Monaco and 21 people are being cared for by the Home Monitoring Centre. According to a study by Australia's National Science Agency, the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 can survive on items such as banknotes and phones for up to 28 days in cool, dark conditions. In other news, the American magazine Newsweek has classified the Le Cassin Centre in Nice as one of the best hospitals in the world. The ranking for 2020 has seen the Antoine Le Cassin Centre be placed among the top 100 in the world and amongst the top 10 in France. In national news, five people have been killed after two small planes collided in mid-air before crashing in western central France. The collision between two light aircrafts happened southeast of the city of Tours at about 4 p.m. on Saturday. Emergency crew, including about 50 firefighters, were called to the scene. They cordoned off the crash sites and no one else was harmed when the planes came down. Finally, at least 40 people armed with metal bars and fireworks have attacked a police station in the south of Paris. The assailants also tried unsuccessfully to storm the building. The police station is in an area known for drug trafficking, and the local mayor said the attack could be in retaliation for a recent scooter accident allegedly caused by police. Meanwhile, on Sunday evening, France's Minister of the Interior went to Champigny-sur-Marne to provide support for the police following the attack.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Tennis, Rafael Nadal has won a record 13th French Open title in a blistering display against world number one Novak Djokovic in Paris. Nadal was rarely troubled as he came through in straight sets 6-love, 6-2, 7-5. And although Djokovic showed signs of a revival in the final set, he couldn't live with the Spaniard, who's now equaled Roger Federer's record of 20 Grand Slam titles. Well done, Rafa. Formula One, Lewis Hamilton's opened up a 69-point gap at the top of the Drivers' Championship and equaled Michael Schumacher's record of 91 Grand Prix wins with victory in the Eifel Grand Prix at the Nürburgring in Germany. The race had promised to be a close fight between the two Mercedes, but pole sitter Valtteri Bottas relinquished the race lead on lap 13 and later retired with a failure to pass of his hybrid system. Max Verstappen in the Red Bull finished second, with Daniel Ricciardo in the Renault in third. The next race is the Portuguese Grand Prix on the 25th of October. Football, England beat Belgium 2-1 at Wembley on Sunday to top Nations League Group A2, while Scotland stretched their unbeaten run to more than a year as Lyndon Dyke scored the win in a 1-0 victory over Slovakia to leave Steve Clarke's side top of Group B2. The Republic of Ireland and Wales drew 0-0 in Group B4 and France and Portugal drew 0-0 in Group A3. Here's more football from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. England manager Gareth Southgate says that Premier League star Marcus Rashford being awarded an MBE is a phenomenal achievement and revealed the squad gave the forward a round of applause to congratulate him. The Manchester United striker will receive the award after campaigning for the government to allow around 1.3 million children to claim free school meal vouchers in England's summer holidays during the coronavirus pandemic. His England teammate and Tottenham player Eric Dier says Rashford is an inspiration for everyone.
He's a role model, not just for kids all over the country, but for us as players as well. I think we can look to him to see how you can affect change in something that you care about and what has affected you in the past and affects others now. So he's done a fantastic job with that.
Plans for radical reforms of the English game, known as Project Big Picture, have been revealed. Under the proposals led by Liverpool and Manchester United, the English top flight would be cut to 18 teams, with the EFL Cup and Community Shield being scrapped. Part of a statement from the Premier League read, "A number of the individual proposals in the plan published today could have a damaging impact on the whole game." Former Premier League goalkeeper Ben Foster agrees. He told the BBC the proposed changes would be bad for the game of football.
For me, it's a complete and utter power grab. I'm sure there are, you know, the majority of the Football League teams, they're on board with this because it's, at the minute, the current climate, this is the only way that they can fully ensure their future going forward. But it's such a sort of short-term idea, it really is. It's for me, it's just a complete power grab so that the big clubs can have the majority of the power. They're the guys that get to make the decision, and ultimately it will just lead to one of these European Super Leagues, and that for me is that's the worst thing that could happen to the Premier League.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Power grab by Liverpool.
Power grab.
Well, that's what Ben Foster said. Rugby Union, the first international test match to be played since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, has ended in a 16-all draw between New Zealand and Australia in the Bledisloe Cup. New Zealand salvaged a draw thanks to Geordie Barrett's 79th-minute penalty as the Wallabies look set for their first victory in New Zealand for 19 years. The second of four Bledisloe Cup games is on Sunday, the 18th of October. There was one game in the Guinness Pro 14 on Sunday. Glasgow beat Scarlets 27. And in golf, England's Tyrrell Hatton has won the BMW PGA at Wentworth with a four-stroke victory. The 28-year-old world number 15 shot a final round of 67 to end on 19 under par, with Victor Perez of France ending second on 15 under. It's Hatton's fifth European Tour win, and we'll see him break into the world's top 10 when the new rankings are updated today.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Amara Sea in the Var. The general situation is a ridge of high pressure, 1,025 millibars over southwestern France. Winds are westerly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,009 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4. Variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northerly, force 4 to 6, the sea is moderate, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,010 millibars, and the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
I'm sure those people suffering after the terrible weather 2 weeks ago didn't need that storm yesterday morning, but we're okay today. Clear skies, light to moderate southwesterly winds, top temperature 20 degrees, overnight lows 13 degrees on the coast, 10 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Tuesday, Wednesday mainly fine tomorrow with a high of 20, sunshine and showers on Wednesday with a high of 18.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally,
for many parents, it's a constant struggle to get teenagers off their phones, but research suggests that their smartphone addictions may not be as harmful as previously thought. Scientists believe texting could actually be good for children's mental health. The study found that youngsters cope better with ups and downs if they can express their feelings to friends via messaging services such as WhatsApp. Sharing emotions over a text after a demanding event boosted teenagers' moods, lowered their stress levels, and slowed their heart rate.
Keep your voice down.